Welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and I'd like to welcome to the program today Vicki Carr. Hello, Vicki.
Hello.
Vicki, you've just published your first book. This is pretty exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very exciting for me.
The book is called Flashover, and I had never heard that term before, but I'm guessing this is a term that comes up occasionally on your day job. Tell our listeners what you do.
Okay. I'm a fire investigator for the Dayton Fire Department. So on a daily basis, that is all I do is investigate fires. And I also do the criminal investigation of that fire. I'm a police officer for the fire department. So I do this, a case, as you would say, from beginning to end. So I go in, I investigate the fire, how it was set, or we also do accidental fires. But if it was set, we do the criminal investigation also.
Now, when you say set, you mean arson?
Yes. Okay. If I say set, I mean it's the term incendiary. It's an incendiary fire, meaning it was set by someone, and then we do the criminal investigation of that crime.
Hmm. Is there a lot of arson in the area?
In Dayton, there is, and mm-hmm. there always has been. It's been a very busy city for some unknown reason. In Dayton, we do have a lot of fire.
Little job security from that, even though it's probably not the best kind of thing to rely on, people committing arson. The main character in your story is a woman named Carly Crenshaw, and I'm guessing that you created this character from experience.
True. I don't think I could have written this book without having the knowledge I have of being a police officer and a fire investigator, because I do go into an entire investigation as I would for my normal job.
Set the scene. What does Carly discover?
Okay. Carly discovers it's an enormous fire. Right off the bat, when the fire crews pull up, there's also some very suspicious circumstances surrounding that, because the owners of the business are already there. They're there before the fire department gets there, and they're there telling the fire chief on the scene that there's a body inside. So the fire department calls for the investigation team. Carly and the other four investigators show up. They start investigating this fire, and there's someone there saying there's an employee in the building. At first, Carly and none of the others can say for sure that there's someone in there, and they start making phone calls, and then they presume that there is someone inside the building. And then it goes from there, the whole investigation as to how the fire was set and who set it.
And we quickly discover a person who I guess we could characterize as your villain. And this guy's a pretty intriguing character.
Yes. The investigation reveals that, yeah, he has set other fires. He was an employee of this business, and he was most likely there to set that fire. So if he was an accomplished arsonist, why did he get caught in the building? And that's what leads to the whole investigation.
I guess I kind of think of him as an innocent. This is it Joe Humphrey?
Yes.
I wasn't describing him as the villain. I was thinking more of his boss.
Right, the owner of the business.
Yeah, he's kind of a villain.
Right, he is a villain. Actually, they both are, because one's there to set the fire, but the other one most probably hired him to set that fire.
Uh-huh. And this other guy, he's a good old boy from Hazard, Kentucky.
Yes, Hal End.
Yeah, he's a great character. How'd you come up with this guy?
It's just, from experience. Working this job, we come in contact with all kinds of people, and I just, as I started writing and started making him up, he just got a little more interesting.
So what was the creative process for you? You'd never written a novel before. What made you decide to do this, and how did you go about it?
I came up with the plot first, and then I don't outline or do any of those type of things. I just sat down and wrote basically the first four chapters, then kind of like looked at where I was going. I already, you know, knew how it was going to play out, but I didn't have anybody's background made up. I just started writing and creating a whole investigation, just as I would do it at work.
Mm-hmm.
But everything's made up. Everything in there could happen. There's a possibility for each one of these things that happens in this book could actually happen in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just pull from all of my experiences to put this together.
Our guest today is Victoria Carr. Her novel is Flashover. And what is a flashover?
Okay, it's a fire term, and it means that fire spreads rapidly throughout a space, resulting in full room involvement. In this case, in this book, the flashover is Joe Humphrey had spread gasoline throughout this entire building. Somehow, the fire was lit, and we never know for sure how that was lit. Whether through his own ignorance, he didn't know if the furnace kicked on and, you know, lit the fumes, or somebody lit the fire behind him.
Mm-hmm.
But when you spread that much gasoline through a building and someone introduces a flame to it, then what happens is all the fumes start to burn at once. So that's what the flashover is.
So an electric spark would do it, or the furnace kicking on, or anything like that would set the fumes off.
Yes.
And, of course, as we get to the end of the book, we do figure out, thanks to you, how the fire started. So you have to read the book to get to that part.
Right.
Yeah. The situation here, it's pretty quickly determined that this business owner had a lot of motivation to destroy his own business, whether it be for insurance or the fact that he's heavily in debt. Is this pretty common in arson cases where you have some extenuating circumstances that might indicate the motivation for burning a building?
Sure. Whenever we suspect the owner of a house or a business, there's always some motivation there to get rid of that building. And it's usually insurance money.
Mm-hmm. Is that generally the case then? In Dayton, when a fire is suspicious like that, is it a lot of times for an insurance claim?
Well, sometimes, but not always. I mean, there's so many other reasons why people set fires, and that's just one of them. And I think that's probably on the lower end of reasons why people set fires in Dayton.
Gotcha. As the book opens, you do have that disclaimer in the front that any resemblance to yada yada is purely coincidental, fictitious, et cetera, et cetera. But this is a community in southwestern Ohio that could remind us a little bit of Dayton. And I know you had fun with that, but it's not Dayton, obviously. It has a different name. But very similar circumstances.
Yeah, very true. Since this is the area I know, the community in the book is called Danby, mm-hmm. Ohio. Certainly it's in this, in the same area when I said southwest Ohio.
And you also, besides writing this crime fiction, we get a little romance in here. There's a little spark going on between our investigator and her boss.
That's true. Yes, just a little romance.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but there's a little bit going on there.
You had fun with that, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I did.
And there's some nice twists in this one. I like how you ultimately reveal who committed the crimes and how these were solved. And I'm not going to give any spoilers on this, but I thought that was really fun, and I enjoyed that a lot.
Okay, that's what I get from a lot of people who have read the book, that they were quite surprised. And without giving away, you know, what happens there, that, you know, that's about all I can say.
So what made you decide to take the plunge and write this book? Are you a big reader? Do you read stuff in the crime fiction genre? What inspired you to make the leap?
I think looking for probably something to do after retirement. But I always wanted to write this book. And actually, I wrote it 15 years ago.
Oh.
I just got it back out about a year ago, brought it up to date, and decided to get it out there. You know, 15 years ago, you had to have an agent. And I could not find an agent, so I just put it away. And I kind of had the itch to write another novel, but it was kind of like, let's get this one out there first, see how it's received. And then I can go on and start writing my second one, which I've started. But with the onset of all the indie publishers out there now, that's what I decided to do. I thought, I don't need an agent. I can go ahead and publish this myself. So that's what I did. You know, it was just, I started reading about how to do that, and it really wasn't all that tough if you can follow directions. So through Smashwords, I was able to get it out there. So that's what I did.
So you were able to publish it as an ebook then on Smashwords?
Yes.
And I see it's also available through the devices, through Kobo, through the Amazon Kindle, through Barnes & Noble's Nook. And is this also print on demand through CreateSpace?
Yes.
So in the 15-year period that this novel was in the drawer, kind of languishing, all the technology changed, and suddenly you had this opportunity to do it.
Right, and so that's what I did. I thought, I'd been saving different articles over the years about how other people got their books published, and when I got it out and I saw that it was, how easy it was to do now, I decided to take the plunge and publish it.
Sounds like the phone's ringing in
it
your
is.
Office. You're at work, and according to your stationery, your title is Supervisor, Regional Fire Investigation Unit, City of Dayton, Ohio. How long have you been doing that?
25 years. Well, I've been with the fire department for 25 years. I was a police officer prior to coming to the fire department for 6 years.
And that was also with the city of Dayton?
Yes.
What kind of a response have you been getting? You alluded to the fact that some people were surprised by your ending. What kind of stuff are you hearing from readers?
They love it. They can't put it down. You know, they've stayed up all night because they couldn't put the thing down. I've got nothing but good responses. So, and that's what I was, you know, looking for. Do you like it? Do you not like it? I wanted to write another one, so I have started that process.
Well, I think it was educational for you to try to get me to notice your book, and I appreciated how you went about it. Initially, you went to Facebook, and you sent me a friend request, which I think I ignored. And then
you did.
And then then you called the station and left a voicemail, which they forwarded to me. And I heard the voicemail, and I thought, Vicky Carr. Now, is this the famous singer, or who is this person? And I went back to Facebook, and I looked, and sure enough, I figured it out. I looked at your profile, and I thought, she's got a book out. She's trying to pitch a book to me. So then I emailed you. You were kind enough to send me the book, and here we are.
Right. I didn't think it would happen this quickly, but thank you for inviting me to talk on your show.
Well, you just got to put it out there sometimes, and that's what you've done with this book, and you're learning as you go along, aren't you?
Yes, I am. This whole marketing thing is different, though. I would rather just sit there and write, but when you are an indie publisher, you have to do all of your own marketing, and that's tough.
I hear that from a lot of writers. They would rather just focus on the creative side and let the marketing side be handled by others. But as you say, it's a whole new world, and when you're out there doing it by yourself, you got to do it all, don't you?
That's right. I mean, all of it. You know, you have to create your own cover. You have to get on all of, you know, the Facebook and every all the other social media sites and emails. And it's just kind of like never ending.
So was that your main motivation for getting on Facebook to have something about your book on that particular platform?
Yes, I was never on Facebook before.
Okay.
After I got the book published, it's like, I think I better get on there if I want to get the word out, or I'm not going to have anybody reading this book.
Have you gone into Twitter yet?
No. I think my son's going to show me how to use Twitter very soon.
Mm-hmm.
I've not done that.
Isn't it amazing how the youth know all about this stuff?
I know. And and someone's got to show me.
Well, I think this card that you sent along is very nice, that has your cover art on it and the information on the various platforms. I imagine you got some good advice probably from your son to make something like this.
Yes, and then a friend of mine printed those for me. I told him what I wanted, and he's an artist, so he came up with a design and printed those for me.
And I think it's a very striking cover. I'm wondering about, is this a photo I'm looking at here? It's definitely an inferno.
Right. I actually did the cover myself.
Nice.
But CreateSpace lets you pick from different cover types that they have, and that's what I did. I just picked something they had and created it.
And what is this image? What am I seeing here?
It's just charred wood.
Oh. Okay.
You know, I mean, when I look at it, I see all the it's called alligatoring. I didn't say that correctly, but it's alligatoring of wood. And, you know, so if you looked very closely, like at a bonfire that was burning, and you looked at the wood, that's what you would see.
That's where you get the little markings on the wood that look like alligator skin.
Right.
Gotcha. I never knew that was called alligatoring. I've learned two words, flashover and alligatoring.
Uh-huh. Very, very common in my profession.
Okay. And how frequently do you get called on a case? How often does this happen? Is this a daily thing?
Well, we haven't been busy just lately, but normally, yes, we are always busy, and we never get caught up. Our fire department... Well, we investigate somewhere around 200 fires a year.
Wow.
When I first started 25 years ago, we investigated like 600 or 700 a year.
So it's decreased.
Yes, it's decreased.
Why were there so many back then?
I don't know. You know, Dayton has always had a fire problem. And, you know, 25 years ago, there was 250,000 people in the city of Dayton. And we didn't have very many vacant houses, and we just had a lot of fire. I can't explain why Dayton is like that, but it always has been.
Do you have terms for these kinds of people that set these fires, like fire bug? Is there something that you call them that's an insider term?
Well, there's a pyromaniac, but we very seldom ever run into a true pyro. And, you know, somebody else might call them a firebug. And if we have a serial arsonist, yes, that's what we would call them, a firebug.
Uh-huh.
We don't run into that many serial arsonists. 25 years ago, we would have one serial arsonist maybe once every 4 to 5 years. Now we run into two or three a year.
Oh, my. I've heard that sometimes in rural areas that they have actually traced some arsons to volunteer firefighters who just kind of wanted to have something to do. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. But Dayton is not volunteer, and I have never arrested a firefighter.
I'm not implying that you did. I heard that.
But that's true. In rural areas, sure, I just read an article about that the other day, that there's like 60 firefighters in the United States in jail for setting fire.
Oh, my. Our guest is Vicky Carr. She's just published her first novel, Flashover, and she's also with the Regional Fire Investigation Unit for the city of Dayton. She knows about fires. You just mentioned the word arrest. So you have the authority when you've investigated a fire to actually put them in cuffs?
Yes. All the fire investigators that work for Dayton Fire are reserve Montgomery County deputies. So we have full arrest powers.
What's that like? What's the experience like when you're getting ready to make the bust? How do you feel? Do you get a lot of adrenaline?
No, I don't think so. I think maybe because I've been doing this too long.
Uh-huh.
But it's nice to bring a case to closure.
Uh-huh. And do you go up to the fire scene and immediately start looking for suspicious things, for clues?
Well, there's a whole process that we go through when we're making a determination of what happened there. When we get called, I mean, it could be accidental. Or, you know, the firefighters already know it's arson, and that's why they do call. But there's a process we go through, and it's really a scientific process of finding out how that fire was started.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say we start looking for incendiary-type clues, but it's where, you know, the fire started and how it started that leads us to our conclusion.
Well, in your book, there's just a few little mistakes made along the way that are spotted by your investigator and that lead to determining who really done it.
True. You know, there's always those little red flags that go up when you're doing an investigation. Like, this just isn't right. This is not the way this should have happened. And, you know, it starts pointing to people or what they say when they're interviewed or how they act.
Uh-huh.
And that certainly happens in this book.
So you've been doing this for a long time, this fire investigation. What's one of the more interesting cases that you've worked on, one of the more fascinating solutions that you've come upon over the years? Can you think of one that just really, even to this day, you just look back and go, wow?
Probably, it's not one. It's probably making the arrest of a serial arsonist. You know, and after knowing who that is, and you still can't catch him, and you do everything possible to get this person, and they're still able to set fires and continue. When you finally get them, that's when, you know, it's a big relief, and it's like, and those are the ones that you really remember.
Hmm. So you've tracked down a few, it sounds like.
Well, we've had several here.
Wow. So you're thinking maybe after you finally hang up the fire hat that you might turn the page and write another book? You say you're already working on a second book?
Right. The second book is actually about three women who were all in law enforcement who are now retired, and they've all become friends at a country club in Florida, and then one of them is the victim of a crime, and so they set out to solve that crime.
Oh.
So I'm really excited about that book, and I'm still working out the whole crime and how it's going to work out in my head, but I've already started the writing.
And does this mean that when you do retire that you're going to be down in Florida putting out these kinds of books, and you'll have your audience right there writing about these retired law officers in Florida? I mean, that sounds perfect.
Yes, but I'll also be staying in Dayton. I'll be going back and forth.
So you do go to Florida?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I kind of got that sense. In fact, we have a little side trip to Florida in your novel that is really key to solving the crime, isn't it?
That's right. Sarasota, Florida, in fact.
I love that little twist, and we're not going to give that anything away, but this is so clever. And when our key villain realizes what's going on, he's practically seen double. He's so upset.
That's right. But you have to read the book to get that.
There you go. Well, I've got to say, this is a book that puts out a lot of heat. It's Flashover by Victoria Carr. She's joined us on the program today. Have you ever done a radio interview before?
Yes, I have. But
for your job, right?
Yes.
Okay.
For the job.
But never for a book. So this
never for a book.
This is new ground.
First.
Well, that's pretty exciting, and we're glad to be able to provide an opportunity for this to occur. And I thought it was a real page-turner, and I enjoyed it, and I think it's a great debut for you.
Well, thank you. And coming from you, that's a real compliment.
Well, you know, I read a lot of books, and I'm actually kind of a crime fiction nut, so I would put this in the crime fiction genre. Is that where you feel it belongs?
Yes, I do.
Okay. But it's a little bit different kind. There's all kinds of different crime fiction, and I don't remember ever reading one that was focused on arson and fire investigation. Is this a subgenre that you're aware of, or are you kind of forging alone into this area?
No, I have never read. I read murder mysteries normally, or crime fiction, and I have never read another arson-type novel.
Well, so you read crime fiction. Did this give you some sense of pacing and plot and just how to structure it?
Oh, I guess, but, you know, it was just one of these things. I just sat down and started writing. You know, we write every day at work, but we write technical reports.
Sure.
So this was fun being able to make it all up and write a little more about the characters and about what we do. So it's really about what a fire investigator does, no matter whether they're in Dayton or they're in California. We all follow the same procedures.
Gotcha.
But this was just fun being able to make it the whole thing up.
Well, we wish you good luck with your second career if you end up going that direction.
Thank you.
Our guest has been Victoria Carr. Her debut novel is Flashover. And it's available as an electronic book through Smashwords on the Barnes & Noble Nook, on the Amazon Kindle, on the Kobo, and also print on demand through createspace.com. So if someone went to Amazon, could they also obtain the print version as well?
Yes, they can.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you for having me on your show.
You've been listening to the Book Nook on WYSO. Our guest has been Vicky Carr. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis. Tune in next week when I hope to have an interview with a world-famous musician who's extremely popular in Southwest Ohio. He's had a 50-year career in music. Did I mention that he's world-famous? He's won all kinds of Grammy Awards, but we need to make sure we get the interview. So I hope you'll tune in next week for, hopefully, my interview with this world-famous musician in the Book Nook. The Book Nook is recorded at Soundspace in Yellow Springs and engineered by Chris Hertzler.